Welcome to another New Zealand Doctor podcast. This is an audio version of The First Time, a series of articles written and presented by me, Dr. Joe Scott-Jones. The First Time articles are intended to stimulate thinking for young GPs coming across things for the first time, and also put some spark in the plugs of old codgers like me. This time, we're going to talk about saying no to a disability allowance request. As 21st century doctors, we have the privilege of working in a society where the scientific method is widely accepted as providing an indication of what is true and what is not. This is the basis of the social contract we have with our patients. We have the ability to filter out what is true and to share that with people. Alternative medicines are not true. They don't work, otherwise they'd just be called medicines. Complementary therapies, usually involving touch, chiropractic, osteopathy, acupuncture, may make people feel better and aid conventional medicine in improving a sense of well-being. There's always been power in the laying on of hands. Now, the New Zealand Disability Allowance System provides financial support to New Zealand citizens with ongoing health needs if they're on a low income. This includes support for alternative treatments and non-subsidised medicines, but only if a medical practitioner says these are a necessary part of patient care. I quote, "Alternative treatment must be supported by a medical practitioner as being necessary to be publicly funded for the person's condition, and the treatment provided or supervised by a health practitioner under the Health Practitioner Competence Assurance Act." This does cover treatment given by osteopaths and chiropractors, but not iridologists, kinesiologists, masseurs, colour therapists, or any of the other myriad alternative therapists that are available. The other thing to consider is that the osteopath, for example, has to be treating something that you as a doctor deem appropriate, not trying to stop epilepsy. Now, the Disability Act will also cover pharmaceutical charges, where they're covering the costs of regular and ongoing pharmaceutical needs. In the definition it says, note, it's generally only paid to assist with the cost of pharmaceutical products that are subsidised or partially subsidised under the New Zealand Public Health and Disability Act. The problem here is the word generally. We all have patients with medically unexplained symptoms, and many of our patients, 40 to 60% according to some studies, use alternative medicines, even the ones whose illness we can explain and treat. This is perfectly fine, of course, whatever floats your boat. It's a free world, unfortunately. But we GPs act as gatekeepers of the disability allowance. Many patients read these regulations and think generally doesn't apply to them, and their GP will help them out. As the gatekeeper, you need to decide what you feel about this. When does it become acceptable for a patient's preferred remedy to be paid for by the government? When it's culturally appropriate? When it's the only thing that works? When it's better than what you give me and has no side effects? And of course, we all know the old hoary one. Well, it works, but the pharmaceutical companies won't research this because there's no profit in it for them. You have to decide how you're going to respond to your patient. But generally speaking, the answer has to be a refusal to support the subsidy. When you do support it, you have to be prepared to justify your reasons to the Ministry of Social Development. I vividly recall one patient whose irritable bowel disease was cured when she used olive leaf extract pills 4 times a day at a cost of $80 a month. I have no explanation for the cure other than the placebo effect, and she was willing to experiment with stopping and starting the stuff to prove its effect. Without the olive leaf, she was in to see me every week with complaints for which I had no solution. In the absence of any conventional treatment and an effective alternative, I felt it reasonable to support her with the cost of the pills. So keep an open mind, but it has to be the exception, not the rule. It's far more common to have a patient approach with a list of 8 to 10 remedies and potions costing hundreds of dollars a month, often with no specific symptom being treated, no measurable effect, or any willingness to accept a more conventional approach. Well, how do you say no and still maintain a relationship with the patient? A flat refusal often offends. So you can try deflecting. "They won't let me do this, Mrs. Bloggs, because these are not medicines under the Act." And hope she doesn't read the word generally. You can take ownership of your decision. "I won't do this, because ethically I cannot support the use of taxpayers' money to support charlatanism." Good luck. It can help prevent future similar requests if you are this honest. But generally, we want to keep communication lines open. "I want to know if my patients are using Karakara poultices to treat new-onset purple-coloured moles, and if I've been aggressive with them about previous treatments, they may not want to tell me." You can be patient-centred and try and engage them and get them on your side. "Look, this stuff must be costing you a fortune. Don't you feel like you rattle when you walk with all those pills? Have you tried not taking them?" You can try bribery. "I won't do that, but I will do this. I won't sign the disability form for that, but I'll offer to refer you for a home help assessment." Remember, always save yourself. Be firm but kind, persistent and consistent in your decision making. If necessary, use a broken record response, and written information for the patient is always helpful. Sometimes a patient contract to state what it is you will do and won't do and why can be really useful. So that's it for this New Zealand Doctor podcast. Look out for more on iTunes and don't forget to visit the website of the magazine. Follow me on Twitter @ApokeeGene.